What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 474, and our podcast this week is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and keeps the podcast ongoing. Of course, with me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Okay, did the music sound different tonight?
No.
The intro music. That's weird.
We had a week off and you just lost your mind.
No. It felt like it didn't have bass and it just like didn't seem as like, I don't know, intense.
It's the exact same.
No? Way. Sound the same? Okay.
Maybe we should change it to something like intense, like wake up, like future bass, crazy music. Maybe we should do that.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
But we're back after a week off and a lot has happened in the tech world. RAM prices have just gone literally insane. Companies are closing up shop or companies are not making certain products anymore and just going all in on AI. We're going to talk about all that this week. We have two really great reviews. Plus, we'll talk about a 27-minute video I made on all of my cool travel tech. Perfect time to put that one out because we have, of course, the holidays and a bunch of other stuff. An old mouse that's being revived, which I love to see for its 20th anniversary. That means, Ryan, we are getting old.
We're getting old, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, it's December. It's holiday season as well, so we'll be talking about a bunch of cool stuff. So if you guys do want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page that is up, and it has everything that we're going to be talking about this week, so you can click through and get more information, or if you want to reference something later, it is all right there for you. So we'll go ahead and start out this week with reviews, and I took a look at a new case, but not so much a new case from Fractal Design. It was their Epoch XL. So we already reviewed the normal Epoch, and it was a very small mid-tower. And now we have the Epoch XL, which is a larger version of the case. But they have made a few improvements, and I think they took our advice on our initial review because we told them to do one thing and they added it to the XL version of the case. So the biggest change in this case is that it is slightly bigger. So at the top of the case, you'll actually be able to support a 360-millimeter radiator. Previously, that was, I believe, 240. And then in the front, instead of just 120-millimeter fans, you can now support up to three 140-millimeter fans. And those actually do come with the case, which is really, really nice as well. And I have the white version of the case. It's also available in black. Like I said, just slightly bigger, but it's still like, I have it sitting right here. It's like, it's not necessarily a massive case by any means. And in the front, it's just going to be all this mesh panel. So you do have a pretty high airflow design. And then, of course, we have those fans that are in there. These are their ARGB fans. And the thing I really like about these is that they use a single connector. They snap together. So you just have just one connector that splits out into your power and your RGB. So you don't have multiple connectors to kind of mess with or anything like that. It just makes wiring really, really easy. There's a top of the case that I did mention that's also highly ventilated, which is really nice to see. And then they do have that fabric pull tab, which is like Fractal Design is known for now. That's how you remove that top panel. And then you can see at the top here, you do get that cooling mount and again can support up to a 360-millimeter radiator. So you can do a 360 in the front, 360 in the top if you wanted to. So that was one of the really big changes there. This case, just like a handful of their cases, has this sort of split panel design. So on the white version, you have an all clear tempered glass panel that goes about 90% of the way across. And then this front part just kind of goes together with this plain panel. And this is actually a panel that you can remove, but it does hide anything in the fronts here, which is kind of nice. If you're going for aesthetics, the back is pretty plain here, pretty standard design, lots of ventilation. You can do a 120-millimeter fan in the back, power supply mounts at the bottom. And they do have the hooks here, which you can use on the inside of the case or the outside of the case if you needed to route your cables around and then down to the bottom, which I definitely like there as well. As we get into the case, one of the big changes that they made that we suggested when they initially put this case out is that now the motherboard tray does support back connect motherboards. So when the original Epoch came out earlier this year, it did not support back connect. You can see all the openings here. So we do have full support for back connect motherboards. So if you're doing Asus BTF or MSI Project Zero, you're good to go there, no issues. And you can see the big cable routing holes here as well, and then plenty at the top and the bottom there. So definitely like that. And you can see what it looks like when you remove that extra panel. Gives you access to the front here a lot easier and all of that. And you get a better look at the motherboard tray there. Pre-installed standoffs, which of course is like standard these days. Some companies still don't do it though, which is kind of weird. But Fractal, you know, you have your standoffs there. You have essentially a full length power supply cover. It is cut in the front here. That just gives you room if you were going to do a radiator in the front. It just gives you that extra space that you need. You can also see cable routing holes there as well. And then, you know, pretty standard thumb screws on our expansion slots and everything like that. Moving around the back, another big change that they made is on the Epoch, they had a single storage mount right here. And the single storage mount would support two hard drives. But because we have all the openings here, they had to move the storage over here. And as you can see now, we do have two of these storage mounts. So we have two separate storage mounts. They're going to support SSD. So you have one here and one here. Single thumb screw, so they're easy to remove. And they've also added all of these Velcro straps. So there's a ton of these. And these sit on these like little circular things, so you can easily move them, which is nice. So I really like that. Just made wiring everything up a lot easier. And then finally at the bottom, you have these metal hard drive trays. These are also removable, and you can move them closer to the power supply to make actual room for, you know, if you were doing a radiator in the front of the case, you can do that there as well. So definitely like that, which is really nice there too. And again, out of the box with these trays plus the SSD trays, you can actually support four hard drives out of the box, which is definitely nice there as well. So really like that.
Hey, let me pause you for 2 seconds. We got a bunch of people in chat. I just want to make sure that they know we're seeing them. So we had someone giving us peace.
I'm so bad at looking at the chat. Yeah.
And then someone is asking, what's the topic? Case review. So I let them know, yep, current case review. We got another review coming up and then a lot of industry news. So stick around and hang out. Just getting started here.
And this has been like, I've been talking about review products. This, my mouse is yelling at me to change the battery because it's blinking. So I'm going to change that.
Your infinite battery mouse.
That's low on battery right now. So it's telling me so. But that's what's nice about this is I can, one, take the battery out and it still works.
It stays
on,
yeah. That's cool.
I can just swap it. But in any case, you have a bunch of hard drive support here as well. And not four hard drives, six hard drives, because the trays here, they actually support both a 3.5-inch and a 2.5-inch, which is really nice because a lot of, like, some cases will only have, like, two hard drive trays. This has four with being able to support up to six hard drives. Which is awesome. So really, really like that on this case. And you can kind of see those like protrusions right here where you can move these Velcro straps. I really, really like that. And they're all pre-installed too, which just makes things a lot easier. Some cases they don't come pre-installed. So we have that there. When it comes to installation, I really didn't run into any issues. This case is super easy to build in. Everything goes in, no problem. They actually sent us over their new Ion Gold 1000 watt power supply, which is all white with all the white cabling, which like really matched the case as well. That just slides in from the back. Super easy to go ahead and do that. Of course, we have more than enough room for a long graphics card in here too. And just everything went together like super well. You can see my cabling here with all of those Velcro straps. Just makes things very, very easy. You can hide so much stuff at the bottom here like I did too, but really easy to build in this, no issues. Here's the final build. Super, super clean, as you can see. I think this is just a nice little update to the original Epoch. If you really wanted that top 360 millimeter radiator support up there, or even just like more fans at the top, you can definitely do that. It comes with the three ARGB fans, which is really nice as well. You can get it without ARGB fans, like normal 140s, but it's always going to come with 140 millimeter fans in the front, three of them. And there's no controller, so you will have to connect those to your motherboard for, you know, changing your ARGB settings and things like that. But really easy. Like I said, I think it's just a solid case. If you're looking for a solid mid tower, you really can't complain, especially when it comes to price too. So it's $149.99 for the RGB version, and then the non-RGB version that just comes with three, you know, normal fans, that's going to be $129.99. So good pricing. I give it a 10 out of 10. Like, there's nothing, I can't find anything that I didn't like about this case.
Yeah.
It's not cheaply made. It gives you all the cooling that you want. It's essentially good to go out of the box because it does come with those three included fans. Support for back connect motherboards. That was an issue that I had with the original case. So it's a great case. And if you're doing a build, it's a great mid tower. It's going to look good. It's going to look clean. So check the review out for sure. And we will have a video on that coming up as well. So stay tuned for that. And talking about that, before we jump to the next review, we're giving one of these away. So we're giving
even better.
Yeah. So we're giving away one of the cases. Not the one we reviewed. You'll get a brand new case from Fractal Design. And yeah, so it's running right now, 15 days left. So I believe it ends on Christmas. Yeah, get your entry in. Just like all of our contests, if you're not familiar with them, we run them all through Gleam. You just sign up for an email newsletter, and then there's 21 different ways to enter on this one. So definitely get your entry in. And we also, what's it called? We also will have another contest here coming soon. So stay tuned for that. But get your entry in on this. It's Canada and U.S. only, though. So if you're not in Canada, U.S., we will have another contest for you guys to get into as well. So very cool. Yeah, awesome case. So if you win that, you know, it's a really good case. But moving on to our second review, I took a look at a kit from Crucial. This is their new Pro Overclocking Edition DDR5 6400. It has really tight timings. It's CL32. This is a 32 gig kit. You can see they sent me both their black version and their white version, but you can just get it in black or white. They've updated the heat spreader. That's kind of the new thing. The new thing on this kit, because they have a bunch of kits and it's kind of confusing, to be honest, with their kits. The big thing with this kit is there is a new heat spreader. And this heat spreader, I actually kind of like it. I like the
white better than the black.
It looks like, yeah, the white looks sort of like a winter camo almost.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool. So, like I said, I really like that. The previous version, I would say, which is the same memory, they were just like matte white and matte black. So this gives it a more gamer-esque look. And I was actually really excited because they also made it a two-piece design. So you can see this piece right here, Ryan. Mm-hmm. So it's two pieces. So like this piece right at the top is actually plastic, where this one is metal. So I was thinking, okay, they made a two-piece design. So like maybe we'll finally get, you know,
some RGB
memory. But I don't think we will, given the story.
We've got another story coming up. Yeah,
yeah, we'll talk about when we get to the news. But yeah, I really like the design of these. I think it's a nice little upgrade over the previous versions. And on the top of the heat spreader, it does say Crucial Pro. That is that plastic piece right there. Looks really good. Like, they're pretty solid memory and they're really tight timings. Again, CL32 for DDR5 at 6400 is pretty good. No real issues when it came to testing. Everything was really good on these. The issue that I have, though, is like it's incredibly confusing. Like, there's only one
gaming and everything. Yeah.
Well, there's a bunch that are called pro overclocking, and one, these aren't like super high time to be pro overclocking. You know what I mean? Like,
you
can buy 8200 megahertz memory right now.
But you don't even have to just straight out of the box.
So, and when I did try to overclock this, I wasn't getting much out of it. You know what I mean? So that's really confusing. And like, if you, let's go back and we'll go to the Crucial website on these. And like, it's just so confusing. because this is the only kit that has this new heat spreader. Okay, so here's a kit. This is a kit that has a new heat spreader, as you can see.
Okay.
But say I want a 64 gig kit. It's a different heat spreader.
Yeah.
And it's still called pro overclocking, which is weird.
Yeah.
And then if I want like a 48 gig kit, it's completely different.
It's a different heat spreader overall.
And now it's only pro. Like it's.
Can you choose pro overclocking though?
Not for a 48 gig kit.
Not for 48 gig.
So it's like typically when brands come out with memory, what they do is they have one design and then everything under that umbrella as far as capacity and speed is that design. Like we all know, like the G-Skill Trident Z RGB, everybody knows what that looks like because
it should be the same across this product.
Yeah. Line. So I feel like it's very confusing.
Or even if you had the same heat spreader and like the pro had the non camo look, but the pro overclocking had the camo look. If it was still the same heat spreader, I could see that, but you got all sorts of craziness here.
Yeah, it's just very confusing. And that's the only kit. Like, and again, I can't even get a 16 gig kit of the pro overclock. I don't think. No. Mm-mm. But I can get a 64 gig kit, but it's also pro overclocking, but it's white. Like, it's just very confusing. I'm just not a fan of that. But overall, this is a solid kit. It's going to if you're running this at its stock speeds, you're not going to run into any issues or anything like that. And if you're looking for non RGB memory, this is one of the sleeker looking kits that is out there. I gave it an 8 out of 10, still no RGB. It's 2020. It's the end of 2025. And it's called pro overclocking, but I mean, you couldn't push these things. They're really tightly timed already, and you really couldn't push these things at all. So gave it an 8 out of 10. And again, pricing, it's like, I can't, you really can't even talk about pricing because it's like all over the place right now. So, but check out the review if you are interested. We also released, at the end of this podcast, a 27-minute long video about my travel tech bags. I feel like it's the holidays. A lot of people are traveling. And over the past year, I've kind of accumulated a lot of really cool stuff that I do. Like, everything in this video is stuff that I actually use. And it's all in my travel tech bag, depending on the type of trip that I'm going on. And
there's some good stuff there. I watched the whole thing the other day and was like, I put like 3 items down for my Christmas list.
Oh, really? So, what were the items? Yes.
The bag.
Okay.
I'm trying to get a new backpack of some sort. So I'm kind of narrowed it down to that one and another. And then your little EDC flashlight.
Oh, that is really compact, nice. That's a really nice little flashlight.
What else was in there that I saw? I wrote them down. But a lot of great items. Like you said, they're all things that you've actually used. It's not just review products that you put into a bag.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like I go over the bag. I go over my laptop. Like I use a laptop and a tablet, especially when I'm traveling like on a plane, always bring a tablet. I use a pair of over-the-ear headphones when I'm on the plane, but I also have earbuds that I really enjoy. Went over a bunch of different chargers for different uses. Yeah. Chargers that, like high-capacity chargers that you can take on the plane that will totally charge your laptop. Nice little wireless charger as well if you're just charging your phone. Just a bunch of, and like
SSDs.
Like, SSDs, like all things that's in my travel tech bag. So definitely check it out if you are interested. And then everything in the video is in the description. So there's links for everything if you want to pick it up. That's it was fun making a 27. That's like one of the longest videos we've done in a while.
Yeah.
It was definitely a fun video to make. And I all my friends always ask me hey, what's a good charger? Hey, what's a good cable? I went over cables in that as well, charging cables and things like that too. So, Albert in the chat says you definitely packed that bag. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, it's not like I've traveled with a much more packed bag than that. But because laptops are so small now and tablet and chargers are just so small. It's not as packed as you would think it would be, if that makes sense. So yeah, definitely check that out. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and that's where we of course feature a builder mod that's been completed in the community. And Ryan, you might like this one. This is a battle bus. So if you're familiar with Fortnite, which I'm sure most of you guys are, this is themed exactly like the battle bus from Fortnite, but there's a whole PC inside of here, which is really cool. This is just like we always talk about this, but like these are just like props out of movies or, you know, out of a video game. It looks super, super cool.
The detail here is kind of wild.
Yeah. You can see the graphics card in the back there, water cooled as well. So this is fully water cooled. You can see the PC, which is in there, which is kind of crazy to get that whole thing in there too. Graphics card at the back. What do you think about this one, Ryan? It's big. I mean,
I'm glad they showed this picture because it's big. This thing is huge.
Well, yeah, you got to fit a whole PC in there.
So. Yeah, no, it's neat. It's cool. It feels a little. I have not kept up with Fortnite like at all. Like I've been seeing
a lot of commercials for it. Like there's like
okay,
like on YouTube, there's a bunch of commercials for it.
Interesting. Yeah, so I don't know. Like this feels very OG Fortnite to me.
Okay.
Right, OG battle bus, because the bus has gone through iterations, you know, and sometimes it's different depending on the season and everything. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool though.
Yeah, I think this is pretty cool. So yeah, this is by C Zugga. We featured a few of his builds before, so shout out to him for this. Really cool. And like I said, if you're interested, definitely check that out. And we talked about the contest, so we'll move into news. And before we get to AI destroying the PC industry, I did want to say that, talking about contests, if you haven't seen the NVIDIA contest, they're giving away an RTX 5090, which is definitely a hot commodity these days, but it's an ARC Raiders-themed RTX 5090. Like, it looks pretty cool. So we have all the information on the page and how you can enter the contest and all of that. But a great little holiday giveaway there from NVIDIA. So pretty, pretty awesome there. Now let's talk about AI destroying the PC industry.
Sad.
So we all knew, well, just like in general, with the demand for data center and everything like that, there's a massive demand on NAND or DRAM. That's why, you know, if you're a PC builder right now, that's why memory is so expensive. So if you are doing a new build, like memory is costing as much as a graphics card in a lot of cases, which is pretty crazy. So that's like kind of crappy already. So you already have that. And because NAND is in such high demand, it's going to be more expensive for graphics card makers. So our first story here is AMD is set to increase GPU prices by $20 to $40. So you're going to see increased prices on graphics cards. And this is just AMD. So you would think NVIDIA would be mirroring this eventually as well as their costs increase. And then the AIBs, like the same thing, like the Asus, the Gigabyte, the MSI, like they're going to have to increase their prices on their graphics cards just because they're like not going to make any money on them. And they're barely making a lot of money on them as it is. What do you think about this?
I mean, it's expected, you know, I hate seeing it. And, you know, you can't really fault the, you know, the big three NAND manufacturers for doing it because it's a cash cow, right? I mean, it's, if they don't do it, they're just, it's money to be made so easily because that market is so big. It's so tempting for them to just make as much money as possible. And then the trickle down effect for us builders is, it's going to cost us more because supply and demand.
Do you think this is going to have any effect on new graphics card launches, on refreshes, on anything?
Yeah, like that? For sure.
Do you think that we won't see an NVIDIA refresh?
Or a super... Yeah, I think it's totally possible. They just hold off, right?
Because you can't price... You can't... Like, typically, the... like. for when it comes to an NVIDIA refresh, like a super,
right, you get a little more memory, maybe you get, for you like get, what the price was launch.
Well, the original launch and app. All the rumors were saying like we're going to get a big memory increase. But even if you didn't get a big memory increase, just say it, we got a little bit more horsepower, right? You know, a little bit better. You're getting that small bump, but then NVIDIA would be like, oh, it's the same price as the, say, if it's a 5070, the 5070 Super would be the same price that the 5070 launched at a year ago.
Right.
But yeah. now they can't do that. So, like, what's the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely not as enticing. You know, if you're one of those people, you're like, oh, I'll wait for the refresh, right, to get a little more horsepower for that same price, you know, depending on when you maybe bought your previous card or just were planning to upgrade. And now they either don't do it or that price is bumped up past something you were wanting to spend.
Yeah, that's the big thing that I see.
And then that just sets the bar higher for the next generation, right? And so it just, yeah, it's I hate where this is going.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I see a lot of it. It's going to disrupt. And like, even if you're thinking about other products, like we talked to like weeks ago, the big thing all over, we talked about it for like two podcasts in a row, was the Steam Machine, right? Mm-hmm. That Steam Machine is going to have an aggressive price to compete with just normal PC builders out there, or even pre-builds or anything, right? And now that you have such a massive increase in cost, and that thing is supposed to launch in what, Q1, like in January? So pretty like, soon, yeah. How do you figure that in? Are they going to eat the cost? Like it can't, that thing can't be overpriced.
No.
So yeah, you have there's a lot of variables here. And like, those are the big things that I see, like Steam Machine pricing. It's going to be interesting. And then how is this going to affect GPU specific launches? And how long is this going to last? Like, how long do you think this will last?
I saw some stories, you know, lasting into like, I don't remember what it was, but 2027 was the first time they were expecting any sort of a let up in this.
It's going to be a rough time. So the secondhand market's going to be so good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then like, Not necessarily related to GPU, but like just desktop memory, right? Like what does DDR4 look like right now? I haven't priced DDR4. Has it started to like come up in price a little because people are maybe, you know, bumping up, you know, if they had 16 gigs, maybe they're finding another 16 gig kit to bump up to 32 or just replacing it. And those are going to start running out because, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Albert in the chat said he really lucked out by upgrading my laptop memory last year. Yeah, I mean, we've seen that so many times where like people, one of our regulars, old man, he bought a pre-built that had a, was that
3080?
Yeah, 3080 when we had the big chip shortage. Like, yeah, I know a lot of people who like build a computer like a couple months ago and they're so happy that they did because just that increase. And again, when you're like somebody, when you're a builder or somebody even like, you know, building your first PC and you have a set price of maybe like $2,000 and then the price of memory doubles, that like just messes your whole thing up. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of what's going on with AI and the PC industry, but it's making pretty profound changes to companies as well. And we talked about that Crucial Memory, right? Yep. You know, Crucial, their consumer memory, they make SSDs, they make, you know, DDR4, DDR5. It looks like they are just going to stop doing that altogether. So Micron, who is a big NAND maker, they make all the NAND that's on the Crucial. It's the same company. They are discontinuing completely the Crucial brand for consumer products. So no more Crucial memory. So no more little portable SSDs, which like the Crucial ones are actually my favorite. No more normal 2.5-inch SSDs, which again, a lot of people buy the Crucial ones because they're very affordable.
MX and BX series were so good back in the day with SATA SSDs. I mean, they're still good.
Yeah. I mean, this makes sense because the AI data center customers, one, there's so many more and like, there's so much more money there.
Yeah.
And Crucial and Micron in general, all the Crucial products use Micron NAND. So they're like, okay, why are we making these products? Like, we can just sell all this for high prices too.
Right. And they don't have to worry about, you know, and then you add on like the little things like marketing and packaging and all of that that comes with a retail product that like you just don't have to worry about or deal with an industrial, you know.
So I might have two of the last memory kits ever made from Crucial.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I have both of the SSDs, this one, and I have the previous one as well. Yeah, I have the Pro as well.
Well, and you talked about them in your bag video.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. And honestly, I haven't been the biggest fan of Crucial products when it comes to like enthusiast grade products. Just like even that memory, like it's not like a pro overclocking type memory. Since Crucial got rid of the ballistics line, they've essentially gone downhill. And people don't know, and this is kind of sad, but like Crucial was the first company to put LEDs on memory.
I was going
to
say that. I was like, it's sad because
they were the innovator
first. Yeah.
Like all this RGB memory that floods, like Crucial was the first company to do it with the ballistics line. And as a builder back then, the ballistics line was like, that's what you wanted in your system.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Oh man. We'll wait to the end of the podcast.
It doesn't mean they can't come back at some point.
We have seen that too. We have seen brands, you know, do that. I just don't think I don't feel like there's anybody at Crucial or Micron that like has that enthusiast thing where it's like, okay, like we're still gonna do this because like we have
it's in our DNA, right?
Yeah. That's the thing that I think is missing. But it's kind of sad. Like I said, it's kind of cool to like think that I reviewed the last Crucial memory kit ever made, last Crucial DDR kit. So pretty interesting. I think that's kind of what's going on as far as like AI. It's just making everything more expensive for the end user, which is the worst thing, right? A lot of the other stuff I wouldn't say matters as much, but just making things more expensive for the end user. And then again, how's that going to affect refreshes, launches, any other product going forward? Because you also have to think too, like new consoles coming out, like they're going to be more expensive. New
cell phone.
Mobile gaming things, like, things are going to be more expensive. Even like cars, because a car uses an SSD, you know, and has memory in it, like it's going to increase cost. So it's going to be pretty interesting. And if what you read is true, as far as like, this is going to last into 2027, I mean, it's going to be tough sledding out there for a lot of people. So, pretty interesting. We did talk about the Ryzen 7 9850 X3D. This really appears to be a real thing. We all but confirmed it as far as it being a real thing, but then this screenshot came out of it running on a Asus motherboard, and it's running 9800 megahertz memory.
Damn.
So, pretty interesting screenshot that came out, and there were leaked benchmarks as well. Since we didn't have the podcast last week, but there's leaked benchmarks of it too. So like, it's definitely really coming. I'm assuming that AMD is going to announce this at CES. Like, they need something on the gaming side to announce, and we're kind of in between CPU launches. So this would be like what they're going to go ahead and launch at CES. So pretty excited about that. And of course we will be at CS, or I will be at CS to see that. Now, we've seen wooden keyboard. I actually have a wooden keyboard right here. We have seen wooden keyboards. We've seen wooden cases, you know, CPU coolers with like a wooden top.
Headphones with like wood.
Yeah. Now we're going to get a motherboard that has some wooden accents on it.
Okay.
We're coming full circle here. So this is the Gigabyte X70E Aero X3D Wood. And I actually kind of like it. It's pretty cool looking. Mm-hmm.
I know it's Gigabyte, but it does remind me of like a Asus ProArt style.
That
or kind of what were the, they had a previous like white with like ice blue coloring, didn't they do one a couple years ago? I don't remember the name of it.
I don't remember.
It was more of like this kind of like workstation-y, I don't know, more professional, refined look.
And it looks like they're going for that like Swedish design, much like Fractal design, because like see these little like, little tabs the right little here,
tabs there.
And I don't know if those are like fabric or I assume they're like a, I don't know what they are because this is just a render, but I kind of like it. I would say not for me, not enough wood. Like you're getting the wood accent here and here, but like I want all of these to have like a wood top on them.
Yeah, but you got to think like they're functional heat dissipating. You know, like you don't want to cover up that heat sink with wood.
I would.
And all right.
But yeah, but no, I think this is really cool. And it's like if you are like this motherboard would look great in like a Fractal design case.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Pretty, like I said, pretty solid looking board overall too. All white. And again, the white's gonna go with the nice with a nice wood accent there. So yeah, definitely like that. Yeah. I don't know if we have pricing. No pricing on this, but probably be a little bit more expensive than the normal X870E Aero. So yeah, pretty cool. Definitely a fan of like brands trying some new different things, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about that, we saw at CES, was it last year, right? The rollable.
Was that last year?
I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. But Lenovo, and they did come out with it. They did come out with the laptop that was a rollable screen. So you would have a normal screen, and then you hit a button on the keyboard, and then the screen would get longer this way, up and down, which is like great for productivity, especially if you're like a coder or something like that. Now they're bringing it to gamers, you know? Okay. The biggest thing with like gaming on a laptop, specifically like one that is semi-portable, is like you're kind of stuck. It's still a 16 by 10 screen most of the time, but like it's kind of small. You know what I mean? By like gaming standards. You know what I mean? So now apparently this is leaked, but they're going to come out with a Legion Pro rollable. So it's part of their Legion gaming line, and you're going to roll the screen is going to roll out wide. So you get this more wide, more immersive screen. What do you think about that?
I like this.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Rollable OLED that goes from a 16:9 to a 21:9 ultra wide.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is definitely a contender for something to launch or at least be, you know, revealed at CES. Yeah, that's cool.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, because you're all, you know, you bring your laptop somewhere when you're traveling, you're like, oh, it's just not as good as like my monitor at home, right? This gets you a little closer to that. Yeah,
we're getting there. I mean, you know, we went from like, because I reviewed Lenovo's that had the screen that pulled out from the side.
Yeah.
You know, and again, even though this is their gaming line, even for productivity, like I'm just looking at this and I'm like, split screen down the middle, one window here, one window here. I'm being ultra productive at the same time too. I definitely like that as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the one that went up and down was, we saw it. It was very seamless, right?
Yeah.
So like this should be good. And being an OLED too, it's going to look great. Yeah. If you see price of this, right? How much is this going to cost? But yeah, pretty cool. And maybe this is maybe we'll see more brands do that too, especially in the gaming side of things where like people are spending a lot more money on a gaming laptop. So we'll see how that goes. Talking about monitors, we have a new first ever 1000 Hertz dual mode.
Jeez.
So 1000 Hertz and it's dual mode, meaning that you like, just like we saw a lot of those at CES previously where you hit a button and it goes to a different refresh rate. So it's a 1440p display that has a 500 Hertz refresh rate. You press a button, it goes all the way down to 720p, but it gives you 1000 Hertz refresh rate.
Jeez.
IPS panel, likely, supposed to be shown off at CES. So I'll be able to take a look at this. And it's from Philips and AOC. So they both have different ones. And I'm assuming they're going to sell this panel to other brands as well. So you should see more of these too. Yeah. Like, that's 1,000.
Yeah, I mean, you want that fast reflexes and refresh rate for your CSGO.
We always say this, like, as this gets higher and it's continually when over the years. Like, even like, I think QHD at 500 hertz would be an amazing experience. Because QHD, I think, is sort of like, because like 4K, you run into a lot of issues, even with like a 5080 and a 5090, like you still run into some issues running 4K gaming. But like quad HD, you know, like a QHD display, like 1440p, I think is like just so, like if you have a newer graphics card, I think 1440p is like, just looks so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then that's already at 500 hertz. Like, I feel like that's such a great experience.
500, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, do you need more? But like, apparently, like, well, I'll go to the demo. I'll see the demo. I'll be like, oh, yep, need a 1,000 hertz.
I need...
yeah, it'll be interesting. So pretty cool to see that. I'll be excited to see that at CES.
It's 27-inch, right?
Yes,
I believe. Yeah, so, I mean, 720 at 27 inches gets a little... I'm thinking that it might get a little grainy looking, you know?
Yeah, just like, yeah, they're 27.
You're losing some detail there, I think.
Yeah, but you got to get that, like, you know, super fast. I don't know. We'll see. Corsair finally released their Frame 4000D LCD RS ARGB. So this was a prototype when I saw it. Essentially, it is their Frame 4000D case where the side panel has an integrated Xeon Edge LCD. So the Xeon Edge has been out for a little bit. It's like their desktop sort of LCD display. You can mount it in like a 360 mount on your case, but they have come out with a case now that has it integrated. So it's just going to be here with sort of like the split panel. So you still get to be able to see your build, but the bottom half will be covered up by this. Now, if you already had a 4000 and you wanted to add this, they're actually selling the panel.
Okay.
As well, so you can go ahead and do that, so it has a place for it, which is pretty cool. So I definitely like that as well. Yeah, it's just a nice little integration there. And of course,
a lot more of these types of things.
Yeah, and like I said, I saw this. There was a prototype at the time, and it just and this is a good LCD too. Even if you don't want it for the case, like having that, like, I want one to like sit here
just out front. Yep.
And what's nice is like, it's not a lot of previous Corsair products or like Elgato products where like you have to run their software to make it work. Like, you can just connect this via HDMI.
And it's a display. Yep.
Yes, yeah, just display. But you can also run their software and have like widgets and do all that if you want to. You don't have to, which is pretty cool as well. So pretty cool to see that. And then moving on to a mouse that was one of the first like really true gaming mice. It was different from like kind of what was out there at the time, and it's being revived for its 20th anniversary. So the Razer Boomslang is coming back. And if you're not familiar with this mouse, if you're young or you don't remember it, it's very distinctive because it has like these like massive, like, it's like it gets wider towards the front, which was, again, kind of revolutionary for the time. This is going to be a special edition of it. As you can see, it's going to have like this leather
sort of, are those leather?
Yeah, leather sort of buttons. Of course, it's going to be wireless now. This like green see-through, which I think looks awesome. I mean, like the pictures, these pictures, like,
yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
There's only going to be 1,337 units available.
Okay.
This thing looks awesome. I don't know.
I never used a Boomslang.
I used a Boomslang. It is different, but it was so different because it was like, again, this was like back when like the most popular gaming mouse was like the Microsoft Explorer, like the Microsoft whatever one,
IntelliMouse, or
so like this was just completely different style and all of that, and they're bringing it back. I just like low profile, wide, like it just looks awesome. So yeah, 45,000 DPI sensor, 8,000 hertz pulling rate. I like that we're getting into the time where like we can get 20th anniversaries of like pretty iconic gaming products now. Yeah. So yeah, pretty cool. I don't know if you have to, if there's like a pre-order. Let me see. How do I order this thing? Oh, notify me. Okay. So you have to, if you want to get it, I assume fill this out and maybe it'll let you know when it's available. That'd be a cool, pretty cool collector's item though, I think.
Yeah,
as well. So we have that. We also have some pretty cool keyboards from High Ground. They've teamed up with Sega and they have Sonic themed keyboards plus a Dreamcast themed keyboard as well. Ooh. So these are pretty cool. So this is the Dreamcast one.
Yeah.
Very Dreamcast-esque, which is cool there. And then we have a couple different Sonic ones. So they look pretty cool as well. And then they have matching mouse mats with everything, which I like love about High Ground. They like everything kind of matches together pretty well. So yeah, pretty cool stuff if you're into Sonic or like into the I like
Dreamcast one.
Yeah, I like the Dreamcast.
You have a Dreamcast?
I did not. My buddy Jason did, and like we would play. I'd go over his house and we'd play that thing so much.
I have two of them actually, and you could insert a boot disc and then play copied games on it. So we had just a
I remember library. I believe my buddy Jason did that as well. Like we were, you know, yeah. Dreamcast was like revolutionary for the time too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty cool keyboard. We have a links to everything as well. So there's the Summit 65 Plus, there's the Basecamp 65 HE, there's a Basecamp 96 Plus, and then there's the Basecamp 75 Plus. So
Not cheap.
Yeah, they're not cheap. But they're nice. I have a High Ground keyboard. It is quite nice. Very, very quite nice. And the one I have is like self-shaded. It's really cool. And then finally, I added this in because I figured you'd be interested, Ryan, because Ryan's into 3D printing. So Noctua has teamed up with, Prusa Research?
Prusa.
Uh-huh. And now they have filaments in Ryan's favorites, Noctua colors.
Yeah.
So if you were doing like a build or something like that and you wanted to match, if you were doing like maybe a Noctua themed build and you need to 3D print some things, you can now exactly match the colors because they're making filament that's in
that is pretty cool.
The Noctua colors. So yeah, I have never heard of the Prusa Research. Are they?
Oh, what? Yeah, no.
I don't do 3D printing, so I don't know.
I know. Yeah, yeah, no, they're like one of the original, you know, 3D print companies, printer companies, and everything. So yeah, absolutely, they're a very big name in 3D printing.
Nice. So they like showed like, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense for Noctua to partner up with them as opposed to some other brands for nice. Sure.
So like if you wanted to 3D print some keycaps or like 3D print an entire like little mini PC chassis, you can definitely do that here. And this just to show some examples, but really cool. I thought that was pretty cool. It's really cool that Noctua is doing some like different collabs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We saw them. They have the mouse. They have a bunch of other stuff going on. So pretty cool to see that as well. And that is news for the week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at the first 3D heat pipe CPU cooler from Cooler Master. It's their Hyper 212 3D HP Black ARGB. Of course, Hyper 212 is very iconic. And with the 3D heat pipe technology, previously Hyper 212s had 4 heat pipes. This only has technically 2. Because of that new heat pipe design. So I'll be telling you guys all about that next week. And for the question of the week, do you see, so we'll go back to how AI is destroying everything. Do you see any other brands just going full in on AI and just completely they're not selling consumer products anymore?
I don't know yet.
I could see like a low-end graphics card brand like a Sparkle or
just,
like a
just making like
yeah but like we're gonna make an accelerator for like an AI right, like we're gonna yeah because like there are like the mid-range AI accelerators or workstation cards that those companies do make. They're like, we're not doing consumer anymore. We're just going to sell like the either the AMD or the NVIDIA based cards for.
Well, you know. I mean, I know the idea or just the thought has floated out there, and I hate to say it and bring more like cred to the option, but like, what if NVIDIA does and they just say, nope, cloud gaming only. We've perfected it. As long as you've got internet that can keep up, you can't tell a difference.
I don't think that would happen. Just because like they own so much of that market, like why leave that market? Even if you like, and there are some that would agree or would say that over the past 5 years, NVIDIA has given less and less and less to gamers, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they I don't see them leaving the PC market to just do all AI. You know what I mean? I just feel like that would just leave such a big hole. And like, you know, AMD is going to come in there and like Intel's
right.
You know,
I don't know. Just thought off the top of my head though. No, like you said, kind of some of these smaller companies that maybe struggle on the one part, but know that they can offer a product or build a product that has a you know, higher profit margin. And
a lot of people don't know, there are a lot of companies that are well-known companies that do have a big enterprise side of them. Master, I mean, right? Well, Cooler Master is a massive one that people don't know about, but I'm just like, even like Inwin, makes enterprise server racks and things like that. Who else am I thinking of? I was thinking of somebody else when I was saying that. ASRock makes enterprise stuff.
Gigabyte a lot of times shows off their submerged.
Yeah, they have a whole thing, and that's like such a bigger business than their consumer business too. It just makes you wonder if there would be somebody else going that route, because you have to think too, these companies that are making these consumer products, like with all of this happening, consumer growth in the PC market is going to, you would think, go down because less people are going to be building. And if you're not building a new PC, that means you're not buying the new case, you're not buying the new power supply, you're not buying any of that stuff. So it's just going to be a decline, possibly.
Yeah.
Like we might see, usually it grows a little bit each year, like it might just go down.
Well, and maybe they shift into like some of those niche products, like, you know, you see these boards with 16 PCI slots so that people could, you know, back in the day, crypto mine, right? Well, maybe they make a board similar for AI rigs, right?
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting next at least year when it comes to AI and how these other brands adapt to it. And again, how the whole PC market adapts to just higher costs, you know, and things like that. So anything else tech related that you wanted to talk about, or you anything tech related that you got or anything like that?
I guess two things maybe. I bought another NAS. I bought a used NAS off of Facebook, another Synology with two 4 terabyte drives in it, just as I'm going to probably replace those drives because that's not a whole lot of space, and probably populate it with some data and sync data as another backup offsite. So that's probably what I'll use that for. It's just a 2-bay, so not a whole lot I'm going to want to do with it other than use it as a backup. And then I'm looking into like backup camera or adding backup camera functionality to an older car that doesn't have it, and also like adding some additional like multimedia options, because I bought an older car for some winter driving and it's a 2003, so it has a CD player and radio but no aux in, right? It's just got the factory radio, so there's no Bluetooth, there's no auxiliary in, so I'm so used to Android Auto.
It's so hard to not use a car.
And the backup camera, right? Like, I haven't driven it a lot because I finally just got it tagged. I've only had it for a week. But, like, you pop it into reverse and you, like, naturally look.
Yeah, you look at the dash
to look, go backwards. Nope.
There's a lot. I've seen, there's a lot of products like that.
There are. And so I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do, right? Do I want one that just goes in the dash in the same spot? Or get like a cheaper one that goes in the dash, and then one of these bigger screens, because you can get some like 10-inch screens that go on your dash with a camera and everything, and they're really pretty affordable. So I don't know. I'm kind of looking into what the best.
It's kind of crazy how inexpensive a lot of like things that, you know, 10, 15 years ago were very expensive.
Yeah.
When it comes to cars, especially when it comes to the car stuff, like you can get a backup camera for like $30.
Speaking of cars, if you haven't watched it, I'd suggest watching it. Marquez Brownlee, MKBHD, did a video on the Xiaomi, and I don't remember the name of the car or the model of the car.
I watched that, actually, yeah.
Did you? Yeah. What'd you think of that? Like,
yeah, pretty nice.
Nice price, nice car. Like, you can't get it here yet. But
I was like, there's a lot of really cool tech that I've been seeing coming out of, because if you guys don't know, Xiaomi is like a Chinese brand that's not sold in the US, but there's a lot, like even like the Huawei phones, the quad fold.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Like, it's like a legit like 10 or 12 inch tablet, but it condenses down into a phone.
Dang.
It's all foldable. It's like, and Samsung did just, we didn't put it in the show notes, but Samsung did announce a trifold.
Okay.
So they have it, but the Huawei quad fold, like it's like legit a like an iPad, but then it condenses down into a phone. It's super cool. There's some really cool tech. And
did you order that other camera you were talking about?
No, I did not. I was looking at the DJI. What's it called? The Nano, DJI Nano. But I did not.
That other brand.
The what?
Or was that? It was like a clone of something.
Oh, no. That one, no, I did not order. No, I sent it to you for you to order.
For me to get. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Because it was. So with the ban, the possible ban of DJI products, they essentially have made a sister brand called XTRA, and they've released the exact same products. So like this, I love this thing, the DJI what's this thing called, the Osmo Pocket 3, right? This is like so hard to find, and it's like $700, but they made one that it's called, like, again, same brand, same everything, same menu. It's like, it's just called Extra, XTRA. And they have a pocket. They have essentially, it's called the Extra Muse. And with all the Black Friday sales on TikTok, that's where they're selling it. Again, it's the same thing. I did enough research to find out that it's like the same. It's the same product. It was like $330, which is insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's $499 right now on their website.
Yeah, and you can get it cheaper on TikTok right now too. Yeah, and then on top of that, they also have like a DJI Action 5, which I also have, which was like, I think $600 when I bought it, or $500 when I bought it. That was super, like, they make one of those now because they're getting ready for the ban. Yeah. And Albert said, yeah, it's essentially just rebranded to get around the ban. And if you're like, if you are pretty crazy about security and things like that with China, if that's an issue, the apps that you have to use to connect to the cameras or like view your footage or anything like that, you don't have to log in at all. There's no login. So that's how they're getting around all that. Cause like with the DJI apps, you have to create an account and all that. All the apps for the Extra products, you don't have to log in either. You just open the app and connect and do what you need to do. That's cool. So yeah, so it's the same brand. It'd be interesting to see if I haven't looked at that extra brand. Do they have drones too?
No, it didn't look like it. They just had like the pocket and then like some of the action camera and a 360 camera.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like if DJI does get banned, like they're gonna have to come up with like a drone company too. So it's pretty interesting to see that. I almost thought about picking that up because I love this and I use this especially when it comes to like CES and other things, and like because it has the what is this called, the gimbal on it. Like I dropped this the other day and I was a little scared, but like it can break, so I was like, oh, like $300, I'll just pick up a second one. But there are a lot of rumors that the new one's coming out, so a Pocket 4 with two cameras.
Oh really?
Yeah, it looks you can, if you just Google it, you can look
at what why would you have two cameras though?
Like for different things. I don't know. But if you can Google it and you can see what it's supposed to look like. So I'm hoping maybe that comes out and I'll get it for Computex time. If that's the case. But
yeah, I mean, it makes shooting video so easy.
Yeah, if you haven't got like that's why I sent it to you, Ryan, because it was like such a great price. You know what I mean?
I know. I have so much gear though that I don't use. Like, I have so much gear acquisition syndrome. Like
you do. Yeah. I do too. Like I was thinking about buying.
Yeah, but you use yours.
I mean, sometimes.
Sometimes.
So yeah. I haven't touched my drone, and I don't know how
long. I know. Same thing.
Yeah. So. But all right, guys. But if you want to continue to hang out with us, we are going to be gaming over on Twitch. So we do all of our stream here, wherever you're watching it, YouTube, Facebook, X, or Twitter. But then we move over to Twitch, and that's where we do our gaming stream for a few hours. So if you want to continue to hang out, it's over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan runs that stream. So yell at him if the gaming's bad, but we'll be on there in about, I don't know, 5 minutes, something like that. And getting some gaming on. So thanks everybody for coming out. And of course we appreciate everybody that listens later, and we will see everybody next week.